G'day race fans, the Qatar Grand Prix wrapped up for another year. McLaren blows a strategy, another win to Max Verstappen, and yep, we're going to Abu Dhabi for the championship finale showdown. Mick, bit of a boring weekend overall, although highlighted by a few massive moments.
If there wasn't something at play this weekend, like the championship, it'd be shit. Let's face it, it was a qualifying race. The only thing I will say about Qatar and the circuit itself, if you want to see what a Formula One car is about, go watch them go around that circuit, because that is what a Formula One car is built for.
Well, George came out in the post-race interview and basically said that he was really disappointed with little chance of overtaking on the circuit itself, but to drive on the circuit is awesome.
Go and watch the onboards and go and watch those cars go around that circuit, and you'll see why they're the best cars in the world.
Can we just get them designed to make it easier to pass, though?
But well, to be honest, let's just not go back there. Because that's what it needs. I've seen some terrible pit wall decisions. And this one has to be one of the all-time blunders. You screwed Oscar, essentially.
Yeah, we'll delve into it. Deeper into that with McLaren, of course. I just want to say one more thing. From the F1 neutral perspective, if it wasn't for Hülkenberg and Gasly making that contact, mate, definitely Oscar would have been for a shoo-in, but it would have been an absolute boring race.
Oh, man. Yes, Max won that race, but McLaren lost that race, and that's bigger than Verstappen coming across the line in first.
Yeah, Max made it pretty clear on pure pace there was a...
We'll get into it, but he was struggling all weekend, man. Like, that car was miles off.
Well, let's go McLaren. This is it. The blunder, potentially the blunder of the season, particularly for Piastri. He was immaculate this weekend, took out the sprint race win, and that was a boring race in itself. But he was on track. I mean, he was in position. He was looking comfortable. First, we get the Hülkenberg-Gasly accident. Safety car comes out on lap 7. We all know about the 25-lap maximum stints per tyre. It's right on the cusp, that 7th lap, because we have 57 laps. What are you doing when you're McLaren? You're sitting on the garage. Yes, I know you're leading the race, but what are you thinking?
To be honest, man, I think they're more worried about protecting Lando. At the time of the safety car, the gap was big enough for both of them to double stack and not be affected. But it was the fact that the other cars came in at the same time that possibly McLaren were scared. They weren't worried about Oscar's race, 100%. Yeah. They didn't care. They were more worried about protecting Lando's race. That and the whole papaya rules thing. Look, mate, you've screwed Oscar. 100%. And now you've basically got what you wanted. Now you can use Oscar as a rear gunner in Abu Dhabi, which I think is, unless Lando has a DNF, which I don't think will happen, unfortunately, I think that's going to be Oscar's role next week.
Whether he wants to take up that, I'm not too sure. But yeah, you're right. Look, from the double stack point of view, they could have done it. I think when the safety car was called, there was close to 5 seconds between Piastri and Norris. Plenty of time for a double stack. I think Stella did come out post-race and he was, essentially explaining what they were worried about was the traffic coming in. So the release of Norris back, from his pit box and maybe getting held up by traffic there. But it does highlight, like you mentioned, you have a driver winning the race. You're not protecting his lead. You are essentially protecting the guy that's in P3. Yes, he is the leader of the championship, but it's still an open championship. So from that point, it doesn't sit, like I understand it, it just doesn't sit so well with me. Obviously, would love to see Oscar win the championship, right? We want to see the first Australian to do so since, Alan Jones and,
88, was it?
80, I think. Keke Rosberg was 82, I think.
What did I say? 88, yeah. It wasn't 88, but it was in the 80s.
It was
a long time ago.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. He did not have the pace to match Oscar. And you saw after that pit stop, after that yellow flag, the safety car, spit it out. After the safety car, mate, Oscar's pace was off the hook, man.
Yeah.
Sector 2 and 3, he was just blowing the doors off the field, man. So not only that, when you did make the final stop, you put him on to a hard tire. You would have seen that Max was managing his tires, right, throughout that stint. Why didn't you risk it?
Yeah, with a soft at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised. I was a bit surprised by that, that they didn't go. I guess the only thing, looking back at it, they didn't have a lot of data to go off. They were probably looking at, I think it was Hamilton and Hülkenberg were the only two guys to start on the softs. They only got, what, 7 laps out of it because of the safety car. But yeah, you're thinking, you'd be looking at that data going, okay, what's the pace like? And then you're taking into account the fuel loads.
Yeah.
So you would sort of think, surely the soft was okay for the end on a light fuel load.
If he couldn't get up to the back of Max in those first lot of laps, right, like if you couldn't see he was gaining enough to possibly be in with the shot at the end.
Manage.
Just tell him, back off, man. Manage your tires until the end.
Yeah, I think in hindsight, it was probably worth the risk to go down the soft.
Man, 100%. But I tell you what, Lando was lucky, man. He got that extra 2 points from Kimi at the end there when Kimi made the mistake.
Yeah, and let's be clear, Kimi did make the mistake because it was pretty bit controversial at the time because as the TV cut, it almost looked like he just
moved over. But imagine if George was up there
and
imagine if Charles had a half-decent car and was up there as well. Lando might not have been so lucky.
Well, yeah, those 2 points could be mighty important.
Well, I think they will be mighty important because before that, the pressure on you in Abu Dhabi is basically you need to finish second.
Yeah.
Now I think you only need to finish third at worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's still a shit ton of pressure, and pressure that wasn't needed and pressure that was created from the team.
I would say this is the first weekend I've seen Lando. He's been very relaxed. He's been very chilled, and probably this is the first weekend where you could probably tell the pressure is starting to mount a bit.
I think it was because he wasn't as quick as he has been.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been as dominant. Look, this track, mate, for Oscar, he needs tracks like this all year. High downforce, long, fast corners, man. That's Oscar's wheelhouse. And we saw it this weekend, man, because he was so fast this weekend.
Yeah, he's pretty disappointed. He put it down as probably one of his best ever drives weekends and then just to be blown apart by poor strategy.
Yeah, easily. He was not going to be touched.
Yeah. Well, what do we got points-wise? It's 408 for Lando, 396 for Max, 392 for Mr. Piastri. So anything can happen this coming week.
Oscar's done, mate.
Oh, I don't know. There's still a little bit of hope. There's still a little bit of hope. Hey, look, you know.
Yes, there's hope, but come on, man. Let's be realistic. Do you really think if Oscar is in third place and Norris is in fourth, Max is leading, they're not going to tell Oscar to get out of the way?
Well, of course. Yeah. Oh, look, he's going to need luck. He's going to need luck. You know, DNFs, that type of thing.
Well, he's going to need a DNF.
Yeah.
He's going to need DNF from both.
But look, we have seen some pretty crazy things at Abu Dhabi 2021. Surely there's a...
Well, Michael Massey isn't there this year, so he can't affect the race.
Well, there's other ways to affect it, Mick. We'll see. We'll find out. Now, let's go Red Bull. Another great win for Max. I believe it's the 70th Grand Prix when, mate, championship team, they get the big moments right. Great strategy call. Max admits, on pure pace, probably wouldn't have won it. He wasn't happy with the car, though, for most of the weekend. He was bouncing, hopping.
Yeah, he was struggling with that car. Like you said, bouncing, then into aggressive understeer on turning, which then, you know, it was just terrible. When they managed to turn it around in the sprint. Look, that's the difference between someone that's won 4 championships on the trot compared to a team that hasn't won a driver's championship in a long time.
Yeah.
Right? Like you said, they make the decision on the spot and they just deal with it. They're aggressive. They're smart. Very rarely get it wrong. And all Max had to do, once he saw they didn't make the pit stop, he just knew he had to just sit there and just manage the tyres. That's all he had to do.
Yeah.
But on pure pace, yes, they weren't going to win the race. Better weekend for Yuki, though. On the other side, he came out swinging hard. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it count in qualifying with such a tight field there as well, but he did well to bounce back and get into to score a point there.
Yeah, P10.
His race pace is shown. He's half decent. Yeah. It's just, yeah, in qualifying when it matters, especially on a circuit like this, if you don't qualify well, yes, he qualified well in the sprint race. I think he qualified
out-qualified Max for the first time in the sprint race.
Yeah, that's right. Fifth and fifth.
Yeah.
For the sprint.
Thing it was.
Yeah, so a better weekend from him. He definitely needed it.
Yeah, big one for Yuki. It was a great qualifying effort for that sprint race. Did his job in the sprint. Got out of the way pretty quickly for Max to obviously get through. Unfortunately, Q1 elimination in that feature race, which was a shame. Yeah, well, a big announcement. Apparently, it's going to happen on Tuesday this week. So we shall see. You still think it's bye-bye, Yuki?
Yeah, sayonara, bro. Sorry, man.
It's hard to know because, you hear these different stories regarding Honda maybe wanting to try and tie something up with Red Bull regarding Yuki's future.
Oh, look, at best, the reserve driver role.
Yeah.
At best. You have not done enough to stay in that seat. You go back to Racing Bulls, man. What, that would be sixth or seventh year in that team now?
Yeah, well, this year was his fifth year, coming into sixth year next year.
Like, it's time to blood someone new.
Yeah. No, I...
Because essentially that's what that team's about, yeah. Right?
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. And, well, let's go on to Racing Bulls. Let's give them the promotion today just because of the announcement or the impending announcement. Poor old Hadjar, mate. I haven't listened to his radio yet. Did you happen to listen to it? Did he lose his shit on the radio when he got that puncture? Because that was, it's one of those things where great race.
Oh, he was on for sixth.
He was on for sixth and, what, three laps to go. It was the element.
Front end. The front end plate.
Yeah. Came off, punctured the tire.
Came off, went under the tire, punctured the tire.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. Good weekend. I mean, good weekend for Hadjar.
Good, not a bad weekend for that team, really. Yeah. I felt like the overall package was a lot better. Like we said, their one-lap stuff of late has been really good and they've struggled in race pace. And I felt like this weekend, okay, bar sprint and sprint qualifying, their package is actually pretty good. They had good one-lap pace, like pretty decent race pace, you know. So Lawson, man, did a good job. He had solid race pace, man, and he was elbows out with Lewis there. Yeah, and like you said, Hadjar, man, that's unlucky because he was on for sixth, and I think that was, again, another missed double points weekend.
One of those ones that got away, of course. But on Liam's side, yeah, I think he did a pretty decent job. Sprint, the opening starts of the weekend was a bit scrappy, didn't qualify good enough. Obviously, that ruins the sprint race, and then Q2 elimination, wasn't it, for the feature race, just off getting into Q3. But I would say, yeah, race pace was good. Finishing P9 in the points is exactly what he needed to do. Also, obviously, the battle between him and Yuki, he managed to keep Yuki behind for the race as well.
Even in the sprint, man, he got dudded, man, by getting told to give that place back.
Charles
was never going to make that corner.
Yeah.
What was he supposed to do? Just sit back and not have a crack? I guess in hindsight, yes, it wasn't for a point. But even still, man, like these rules need to be looked at because that was shit. Charles was never going to make that corner.
No, not at all.
For me, Lawson was entitled to have a go around the outside because Charles had made the mistake.
Yep. Yeah, he made the mistake in the lead up and Lawson had the clear run. So,
yeah.
And Lawson is the guy that gets punished. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think they had a pretty solid package this weekend and it was just, unlucky for Hadjar in the end because, he missed a big bag of points there with that puncture.
Well, we know he's definitely on the grid next year. He did let that out and I think one of the pre-race interviews, surely it's going to be in that Red Bull seat. Surely.
Yeah, has to be.
Yeah. Well, let's find out, hopefully within the next day or two. Now, promotion. You got to give a big promotion to Williams here. Carlos Sainz, P3 in the feature race. Mate, he's still winning that battle with Albon because Albon, outside of the points, finishing P11 in the feature. One more race to get it right, Albon, because, mate, Carlos is on fire over there.
he's got himself into a zone, man, and he's just maximizing the package that he's been given. They were interesting, man, because they were a lot faster than what they thought they were going to be. Even I didn't think they were going to be as quick as what they – I knew they'd be in and around the 10, but, I wasn't expecting them to be quite as quick. Albon's side, yeah, Albon's still struggling with qualifying, man, and getting those tyres into the window. Yeah, he's struggling. That's his seventh race in a row now with no points. But they have sealed that fifth in the constructors. Look, not taking nothing away from Albon, because he's probably more of a reason than Sainz as to why they're in that position.
Yeah, well, first half of the season he was on fire. He was
on fire, right? So now it's Sainz's turn to carry that team. Good strategy from Williams. They jumped Kimi in that first lot of pit stops, and he just did what he needed to do, man. He had the pace. Look, obviously that circuit doesn't create good overtaking, so it was a bit of a DRS train. So I'm not 100% sure, all things being equal, whether they would have, let's say somewhere like Spa.
Yeah.
You're right. If they had the pace to beat Mercedes, it was just that the circuit configuration and the way it's a DRS train there, he was able to hold onto that spot. But he had a bit of something broke or something in those last couple of laps, I think it was.
Yeah, you're saying he's getting, I think, a lot of understeer in the right-handers, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly. So just mega, man. He's just been so solid. Mm. Look, Albon qualifying, man, because he had the potential to be 5th and 6th like we saw with Sainz.
Well, James Vowles was pretty happy. I mean, considering where Williams were last year at this track, he was pretty stoked with a podium finish. Now, Mercedes, I would say for me, Mercedes were quite disappointing this weekend in a way. Good performance out in the sprint. What did George finish in the sprint? He qualified 2nd, didn't he?
Finished 2nd
yeah.
in the sprint.
Yeah. And sort of to go backwards for the feature race, P5 and a P6 in the end for the Mercedes boys. Antonelli probably could have held on to 4th if he just, didn't get loose in those sort of fast sweepers there. Yep. But I think for Russell, yeah, a bit disappointing. He'll be disappointing that he also got beaten by Antonelli, no doubt.
Yeah, well, look, he started on the dirty side of the road, right? Yeah. So he got a poor start and then apparently had a snap of oversteer into turn 2, and he lost the 2 spots there. Kimi was solid, man, without being, mega like we've seen in the last few races. But look, he probably could have been higher because he did get jumped by Carlos in that pit stop too. So happy but disappointed. Look, they've got a pretty decent advantage now for that 2nd place in the constructors. 33 points or something like that anyway.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. They're pretty well good. Lockdown.
And Aston Martin with Fernando Alonso, P8 finish. He even manages to finish in the top 10 with a pirouette.
Yeah. Mate, we saw some hectic pirouettes this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, mate, we've got to get to
How Charles Leclerc didn't die.
Not that. It's just how he didn't take off like a helicopter, mate. Mate, it was pretty scary, some of those. But yeah, Aston Martin, look, picking up a few points there with Fernando Alonso. Stroll
he felt good in the car, felt comfortable, just there's just no lap time in it.
They went a bit strange on the strategy though, didn't they? Because they didn't.
Well, yeah, because he pitted under the safety car and then early again after the safety car, which basically committed him to a 3 stop. They were kind of hoping for another safety car, which obviously didn't eventuate. Yeah. Plus then he got the 5-second penalty for speeding in the pit lane.
Yep. Naughty boy. So,
He couldn't match Alonso. I said that this circuit would suit
Aston. Yeah,
bought him a lot more, and it clearly didn't. Alonso was mega, man, especially in sprint qualifying. What he finished, started in 4th, fell back a little bit, and then in the race he probably could have finished up a little bit hot. Well, maybe not because he had the spin, but in qualifying, man, he basically used all his sets of tyres because he didn't think he was going to get into Q3. And then he got into Q3, so he had no tyres left to try and put in a lap time.
Yeah.
Still managed 8th. And then,
I mean, you got to be pretty happy with 8th, like spinning and then still managing to finish in the top 10. I think you'd be pretty happy.
That's the thing, though. Without that spin, possibly 5th or 6th, right? Because he lost 2 places after that spin. So one side of the garage was competitive. The other side, not so much, which is quite strange because I thought Stroll would go all right around here. No lap time in the car.
Yeah, speaking of no lap time in the car, that was poor old Lewis this weekend with Ferrari. Charles Leclerc, mate, he was – look, they were both struggling. Leclerc was on the ragged edge, basically, every lap.
Yeah.
He was –
the car was a dog, man.
Exactly.
Lacking downforce.
Yeah.
Look, Vasseur came out and said the mandated tire pressures that they had to run, like obviously higher than normal.
Mm.
And they said they just struggled. They couldn't get the car into a window there. Mate, the rear of that car was not connected at all to the road, like at all. Like it was basically the rear car was on ice, and then the front, you probably try and dial in a little bit more understeer. That just led to snap oversteer, and then we saw that massive spin, man, from Lewis, man, is just not happy when the rear of the car is like that. He needs a planted rear end, and especially on the one lap stuff, that's where he's struggling because the rear of the car is not where it needs to be.
I think this is where Charles Leclerc has that little advantage as well. He tends to, we've seen it throughout his career, like he can get really on that ragged edge.
Yeah. Plus he's been in that car for that whole generation of rules too, right? Yeah. So he's probably a little bit more comfortable. Yeah. At the end of the day, man, he was lucky to, what did he finish? Eighth. He was lucky to finish eighth because he got a bad start. He was on the dirty side of the track. If it wasn't for Gasly, Hülkenberg and then Hadjar, he would have finished outside the points.
Yeah, struggling.
So that car was a piece of shit this weekend.
But for Lewis, another Q1 elimination in the feature race. I just hope for his own sake that Abu Dhabi is a much nicer race weekend, better results, just because of the media side. We know how things can be in the media regarding Ferrari.
Well, there's some idiot asked him a question about how are you feeling about next year? Do you think you'll reconsider over the summer break? And Lewis was just like, no, I'm excited about driving a new generation of car because this generation of car for me is shit. It's one of the worst generations of cars that he's driven.
Yeah.
I think he said, I can't remember what year it was.
2009 he didn't like as well.
Oh, 09 he didn't like.
Yep.
And he said, this one's probably worse than that one.
Yeah.
He said, because at least in 09 they had good tires.
Nice grip and
Yeah, hopefully he just has a nice, quiet weekend. Look, I don't, to be honest, he'll just go there and just go through the motions, I think, and just get the weekend out of the way so he can move on to 2026. But that car's a dog, man. Like, it was so bad.
Let's just move on from Ferrari.
Throw that thing in the bin.
2025's greatest disappointment.
Yeah, just man.
Disappointing. Kick Sauber. Bortoleto, well, he finished the race, which was good. 13th in the end. Hülkenberg.
Sprint, what did he finish? He qualified 14th, finished 16th. Look, he ran wide in the final corner, and that killed his qualifying in the sprint. So DRS train, not much you could do. Gabby got the better of him in that one.
Yeah.
Well, Gabby had to take that five-place grid penalty from his... So he ended up starting 19th. Because he qualified 14th. And Hülkenberg, man, he only missed out on Q3 by like 3/1000ths of a second. That's how close it was.
Yeah.
And it sucks because he was on for points, man. Yeah. And then he was one of the only cars really moving forward. Yes, Lewis made some positions at the start, but then lost them in the pit stop. Whereas Hülkenberg, man, he nailed the start. And he was really the only one that was moving through and got himself into the points.
That's right, he's on the softs, wasn't he?
Yeah. And unfortunately had the contact with Gasly.
Racing incident.
He left plenty of room. Gasly clearly just understeered a little bit, and then Hülkenberg was trying to finish off the corner and moved across.
Yeah.
Wheel-to-wheel contact. Yeah, racing incident.
I looked at the onboard of Gasly, and he was hooking it right. So
yeah, but on the flip side, man, look, Gabby looked a lot more comfortable this weekend in the car.
Yeah, he needed that. He's been a bit scrappy lately and a few accidents, and
good for his confidence just to have a clean one. And look, he drove back to 13th, man, from 19th. So
not bad.
Yeah. That was a good weekend for him, I think. Just a nice, quiet one.
Haas. Ollie. Poor Ollie. He was got a good start in the feature. He was in the points. And then they really destroyed him with that pit stop.
Yeah, so the rear jack was still attached to the car when he got the green light to drive off. And you could see that on the onboard.
Yeah, he wasn't planning, was he? That was a shame because he was good for points.
Yeah. Definitely, but I mean, that car was poor, really.
Yeah, I mean, you were picking it to be pretty strong.
I definitely thought it would be strong. But again, similar to Ferrari, man, they had that high-speed rear instability. And even Ocon was like, I'm loose on corner entry. And under braking, so he was struggling all weekend.
And he got hit with that little false start as well, 5-second penalty on the feature race.
Yeah, and then didn't serve the penalty correctly either, did he? So then he had, and I think that's the second time that's happened to Haas.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I think that's the second time that's happened to them this season. So, yeah, they were poor this weekend. Yeah, from what they have done in the last few weekends to this weekend, they'll definitely want to get back to Abu Dhabi, yeah, where I think
I think Ollie was on a streak of, what, 5 race weekends in the points, so that unfortunately broke it. But, yeah, I mean, again, looking at his pace and where he was when all that debacle happened in the pits, he was definitely on for some points. What are we left with?
Alpine.
Alpine.
Alpino.
Alpine. Gasly, mate, he was in for a shot, eh? Unfortunately, yeah, with that incident with Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, that car, obviously, on one lap, is mega.
Yeah.
Especially on Gasly's side of the garage anyway. Like, it showed good speed. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see what he had again.
Yeah.
Because I think he got some damage at the start. He ran wide at turn 14 and then obviously had the contact with Hulk, which just then ruined his race. Franco, man, another tough weekend, quiet weekend. He started in pit lane for the second time because he started in pit lane in the sprint race as well. So did Gasly with the sprint. So he started in pit lane again. Now he's even further back, you would say, from Gasly. He had that period there where the gap was nice and close and you thought, oh, okay, he's making some inroads.
Yeah, then Gasly, the last few race weekends has
just dominated.
Done it again, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And shown the potential in that car. Obviously, not that it means much now because we're going to the new set of regulations, but for whatever reason, that one lap speed in that car seems to be good, especially on high downforce.
Overall, the weekend itself, pretty lackluster.
Yeah,
pretty lackluster.
If there was nothing to play for, it'd be shit.
But if you are F1 neutral, you'll be pretty happy that we still have a 3-way battle going into Abu Dhabi. So short wait for that. I think this week we should hear regarding 2026 Red Bull driver lineups. Mick, final thoughts, mate. I'll leave it up to you. Go for it.
No, I mean, you basically nailed it on the head. I think the interesting thing this week is going to be the driver lineups for that Red Bull seat and the Racing Bull seat. Like I said, I think it might be the end of Yuki as a full-time driver anyway. A weekend where you didn't need to give Max a sniff, you gave him a sniff. Again, you gave him a sniff. Unfortunately, this weekend has basically ruled Oscar out of the championship.
Come on, obviously, mate. Some more optimism.
Nah, man. Nah, nah. I don't think it is. Just purely because if you put yourself in a situation, look, yes, anything can happen and it still might, but all things being equal and you think ahead to that race, if Lando is in fourth, Oscar's in second, Oscar, mate, sorry, but we're going to have to get you to move out of the way. And we saw with this kind of strategy, it was more to protect Lando than it was to protect Oscar's win, which they clearly did not care about. Again, we've spoken about this throughout the season. Again, you've inadvertently proven who you're favouring, right?
Well, I'd love to know what the viewers think on that whole situation.
Yeah, well, make sure you leave them in the comments and let us know, because we are still in that race for 500 and we're getting closer, man. We might just do a Max Verstappen and snatch this one out of the bag, because we do appreciate it and it does help us create better content for you guys, which is what we want to do, because we're having a ball doing it, talking about something that we love so much. Yeah, man, Abu Dhabi. Oh.
One more to go. Let's go.
One more to go. And I think we will be there. So, I can't wait because I want to have a shave. I've been hanging out.
All right.
So, and until then, we'll catch you in the next one.
Catch up.